It's a real privilege to be with you tonight, and a real privilege to open God's Word with you. I'm going to be thinking about Matthew chapter 6, from verses 19 to 24. So if you want to open up your Bible there, we'll read that together, and then it'll be really helpful to keep it open there as well. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. And it's also on the screen. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord God, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that you have spoken in the past and caused that word to be written down. Thank you that you speak still today. Lord, give us attentive ears to hear you. Give us sharp minds to understand and give us open hearts to receive. We pray, Lord, that you would work in us and through us this evening. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I live in Geelong, and I left home yesterday, and so for the next 6 days, I'm travelling around here in Tasmania, and then off to Canberra, and then to Sydney. It's quite an unusual trip for me and the work that I do, but that's the way it worked out. And so about a month and a half ago, I had my laptop open, and I had three different tabs, one for Qantas, and one for Virgin, and one for Jetstar. And I got to look at all the different flight times and where they were leaving from and where they were landing, and also the costs involved in that. And I got to pick out the flights that suited me the best. So I happened to be flying on three different airlines across four different flights in the next few days. Now, I don't know about you, but I like decisions where I get to have a little bit of everything, the best of lots of worlds. That's personally why I'm a big fan of all-you-can-eat buffets. Not just because it's all you can eat, but because you get to have a little bit of everything. I'll have a bit of this and a bit of that, and ooh, I might have a lot of that, which is probably dessert, which I shouldn't as well. You guys have Sizzler here? Was that a thing here in Tasmania? Yeah. I miss Sizzler. You know, kind of the all-you-can-eat style dinners. When Tracy and I, we go out for a special meal to celebrate something, I like it when we can get some plates of food to share. And you can get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I like decisions where I can have a little bit of lots of things. But then there are lots of decisions that are not like that, are they? They're either A or B or maybe C and D. You don't get to have a little bit of everything. You have to make a firm decision between one thing or another. Choosing who you're going to marry is a bit like that, isn't it? It's either A or B, or if you're lucky, C and D you get to choose from. But you can't have a little bit of A and a bit of B and a bit of C, at least not a godly, healthy, biblical marriage, legal marriage in this country anyway. Choosing what school you might send your kids to is like that, isn't it? It's either this school or this school or this school. You probably can't send them to this school Monday to Wednesday and that school Thursday and Friday. Most of us in our jobs don't get to choose between lots of different options on different days of the week. You don't get to be a doctor on Monday, Wednesday and Friday and then a sparky on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Most of us have to choose between them. You can either build a stadium or not build a stadium. You can't have a bit of both worlds, judging from all the signs that I see around as I drive the last couple of days. Now, in Matthew 6 here, Jesus is asking disciples, people like you and me, to make a decision. It's a decision that we would love to be of the former kind, where we get to choose a little bit of both, but it's not. It's a decision between two different types of treasure, two different types of eyes, and two different masters. And it's not a trivial decision, like what are we going to have for dinner tonight? And it's even bigger than the decision of who we're going to marry or where we're going to send our kids to school. It's a decision of utmost importance, one that has consequences both in this life and in the life to come. Now, if you notice as we're reading through it, or if you have a look now, you might want to have a look. Jesus gives us a triplet of doubles. You don't notice that? He gives us two types of treasure. That's there in verses 19 to 21. He gives us two types of eyes in verses 22 and 23. And then finally in verse 24, he gives us two different masters. Now, if you're good at maths, you might say, well, that's 2 times 3, there's 6 options there. Surely I can just pick a little bit of both. No, it doesn't work like that. Jesus is actually making the same point 3 times from different angles. He's giving us column A, this choice, and column B, that choice. Not a little bit of both. So what we're going to do tonight to unpack this, instead of going through the treasures, the eyes, and then the masters, we're going to have a look at what he puts in column A, a column that he calls treasures on earth. We're going to think about what he's saying about these treasures and why he's not recommending it to us. And then we're going to have a look at column B, what he refers to as treasures in heaven. We're going to have a think about what it means to store up these treasures, what these treasures are, and why they are so superior to the treasures on earth. So let's start with option A, the option that Jesus describes as treasures on earth. Having a look here at verse 19, where Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." Now, I want us to think for a moment by what Jesus is saying when he says, "Do not store up." Because this is actually important, and I really hate to do this on a Sunday evening, but I need you to think hard for about 2 minutes, all right, just to kind of think about what he's saying here. Something that's worth noting, and I don't like to talk about this normally, but something worth noticing is that in the original language here, the word store up is the verb form or the doing word for the same word that's used for treasure, all right? And that word can be translated and understood in 2 slightly different ways, slightly nuanced differently. The first is like it's done here in the NIV, in terms of storing up, or gathering, or accumulating. In which case, Jesus would be saying, don't accumulate for yourselves treasures on earth. That's one way number one. The second way of understanding it is more to translate it as treasure. So Jesus would be saying, do not treasure for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't love earthly treasures. Don't set your heart on the things of this world. Don't hold in highest regard treasures on earth. Jesus might be saying, don't treasure earthly treasures. Now, it's a bit, you know, not easy to say, but it'd be like saying, don't run a run. It makes sense, but it's a bit awkward. Now, which one is Jesus actually saying? Well, when it comes to earthly treasures, he could be saying both, couldn't he? Or either. Either makes sense. Don't store up, don't accumulate, or don't treasure with your hearts. But in a moment, we're going to talk about treasures in heaven. And I want to suggest that only one of them makes sense there. Because you and I, we do not accumulate treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven are gifts. They're given to us by God. We don't build them up, store them up, create them, they're gifts from God. I think Jesus is saying here, don't treasure your earthly treasures. Jesus isn't primarily concerned about the size of our bank balance, or the size of our house, or the kind of car we drive. That might come into it. He's more concerned about the state of our hearts. Notice how verse 21 goes. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, when we talk about earthly treasures, what are we talking about? Well, Jesus later on identifies it in verse 24. He identifies part of earthly treasures as money. He's talking about our financial wealth and our financial well-being. But it's broader than that as well, isn't it? It's all the things of this life that we are tempted to chase after and put our hope on and to love with all of our heart. Now, why would Jesus say then, don't treasure these things? Well, as we go through, we actually begin to see some of the reasons why Jesus says that. And the first reason why he says that is because these treasures do not last. They don't last in this life, and they certainly don't last in the next. Look at what he says. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. By talking about moths, Jesus is probably referring to the habit of the day of actually showing off your wealth by the expensive cloth that your clothes were made out of. And so actually one of the ways that people stored their wealth was by buying expensive linen and storing it away. And Jesus was, well, don't treasure that because you get a moth in there and it's going to be completely destroyed. It's like people today, young people, I've got teenage kids who like to show off with the kinds of shoes that they wear. Jesus is saying, well, they can get wet and destroyed. They'll be gone before you know it. Not only he talks about moth, he talks about vermin. We know what they do. They eat things away. Thieves, we know what they do as well. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying those things that you're tempted to chase after, long for, set your heart on, they simply do not last. But not only that, those things don't satisfy. I want to move on and have a look at what Jesus says next, moving from the treasure to the eye, because they're connected. Look at what he says in verse 22. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, there's a connection here with what Jesus has just said about treasures and hearts. You see, what we treasure with our hearts shapes what we look to with our eyes. What we chase after, what we focus on, what we long for. And Jesus is saying, well, if that thing is good, well, your life's going to be good. It's going to be light, freedom, peace, joy, hope. But if that thing is bad, your life is going to be full of darkness. You see, when our hearts are treasuring earthly things, that becomes what we look to. But what we find is that those things that we look to never satisfy completely. And so we jump from one thing to the next to the next. We are stumbling around in darkness. And look at what Jesus says. He says, if that light within you is darkness, if there's no light coming from the outside and in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I don't think we have to look too far around us to actually see this actually taking place in our world and our culture and our society around us. We have, as a society, not every individual, but we have, generally speaking, more earthly treasures than any group of people ever have in the history of the world. Like, we have more in our houses and in our cars, and in our wardrobes, and in our retirement savings, than anybody ever has before. Are we a society full of light? No, we are not. But by every measurement possible, we are a society of darkness and despair. A few years ago, there was a survey done of people asking the question, what annual income would you need to be satisfied, to kind of live the life that you would want to live? The results were really fascinating because they broke the results down by income bracket. And every income bracket identified an annual income that was just about double what they were currently earning. It doesn't matter how much we have. If that's where our treasure is, it will never be enough. Well, then Jesus moves on from the treasure to the eye, and then finally to the master. And again, there's a flow going on here. What we treasure in our heart shapes what we look to with our eyes and ultimately determines the master that we serve. And Jesus is pretty blunt here. He's pretty plain, isn't he? You cannot serve two masters. You either hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and you'll despise the other. And this is the ultimate problem with earthly treasures. They stop us from loving and being devoted to God. In fact, as Jesus puts it, even stronger than that. They cause us to hate God and despise God. A heart that is never satisfied, eyes that are continually wandering, living in darkness, have no room left for loving God and seeking Him. You cannot, says Jesus, serve both God and money. We've got to pause here, don't we, and really think about what Jesus is saying here. He's saying you can't chase after both. He's not saying it's not easy to have two masters. He's not saying it's very difficult to have two masters. He's not even saying you can only partially serve two masters. He's saying you can't do it. It's impossible. Now, I find this very challenging because I don't think I believe Jesus when he says that. I think I can do it. I think maybe I'm the only one who can do it. Nobody else can. But Jesus, I can do this. You can have my Sundays in my devotion times and about 35% of the rest of my life. I will be fully devoted to you in those moments. But I'm gonna have the rest for myself. Jesus says, no, you cannot do that. It's an A or B decision. Either you serve God or you serve your money. Now, in a moment, we're going to move on to option two. We're hoping it's a better option, aren't we? Because this one's not working out very well for us. Before we move on, though, it's probably a good place for us to pause and actually ask ourselves some tough questions, isn't it? The question that we probably need to wrestle with is, what place, what role do earthly treasures play in our lives? We all have earthly treasures. All right, we all have a bank balance and a place to live and a car to drive and a job to go to and sports and hobbies and all. We have earthly treasures. What role do they play in our lives? Do we treasure them? Are they what we keep looking to? Is it ultimately what we're serving? I was thinking about this and thinking about lots of different ways that I've struggled with this, but I realized as I was doing this, there's been something going on in my own heart the last few years. Like, in a couple of months, I turn 50. I feel embarrassed to admit that. That's very old for some of you, and it's quite young for some of you as well. I'll just add that in there as well. But I'm getting to that age where, like, my kids are growing up and starting to finish school and thinking about leaving home. And so a lot of my peers, guys that I grew up with, who've been in business and own companies and things like that, some of them are starting to talk about their retirement plan. Like, so when they're going to retire and move on. And that's fine. There's no problem with that. Like, that's okay. The problem is what it does to my own heart. Because I start thinking, why can't I be thinking about my retirement plan? Like, when do I get to lie on the beach and drink pina coladas all day and have a P&O cruise, although you can't because they're bust now, but, you know, that sort of thing. Like, when's my time? And then I start looking at my retirement savings and thinking, that's not a lot. Like, when's that going to grow? And then all of a sudden, that savings is not something that's just kind of sitting there. It's something that I am thinking about a lot. My heart is desiring, and I'm no longer focused on Christ. Maybe here's some questions that we can ask ourselves. I think they come out of here. How do we cope when our earthly treasures get taken away from us? When the moth and the vermin destroy and the thief steals? Is this a catastrophic disaster in our lives? Or something that is annoying, but by the grace of God we can cope with? Do we feel a contentment with the earthly treasures that God has blessed us with? Or are we satisfied with them, or are we constantly longing for more? When it comes to a choice of what we do with our time and our money and our energy, and we sense God is leading us one way and we want to go to another, who wins? Who gets the ultimate say over what we do with these things? All right, let's move on to think about then option two, column B, which Jesus describes in verse 20 as treasures in heaven. But, he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And immediately he gives us something different about them. He says, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Treasures, he says, that are eternal, treasures that are kept by God for us, that cannot run out, cannot run dry, cannot be taken away from us. Now, we've got to think about, what is Jesus saying when he talks about treasures in heaven? Is he talking about heavenly versions of earthly treasures? So like, when we get to heaven, we're all going to be stinking rich, and we're all going to be retired, and we're all going to be taking cruises, and we're all going to live in mansions of glory, as the hymn might suggest that we do. Or is it something else? I want to suggest it's something else. Not simply something different, but something even better. Listen to these couple of passages, also out of the New Testament. Ephesians 1. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. This one from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. What are treasures in heaven? I want to suggest that they are Jesus Christ himself and all the blessings that come to us from him in the gospel. Jesus is our treasure in heaven. Jesus, who loves us so deeply and dearly that he came to earth to be born as one of us, to suffer throughout his life, but suffer horrifically on the cross, bearing the penalty for our sin, our shame, taking our guilt away and making us his own. Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, constantly interceding for us, talking to the Father about you and I over and over again, defending our case before him. Jesus, who is gentle and patient and kind and generous and loving. Jesus, who reigns over heaven and earth, who knows every single moment of your life, who knows what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. In fact, he's in charge of all of it. Jesus, who's coming again, to bring his kingdom eternally, and we get to be a part of it. Jesus himself is our treasure in heaven. Not only is it Jesus, but it's all the blessings that come to us from him through the gospel. The forgiveness of sin that we have, the peace that we find in him, the access that we have to our Heavenly Father, that we can pray any moment and God hears us. The gift of his word, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of being a part of his church, the community of his people. All these blessings that he lavishly has poured upon us through the cross. See, not only are these treasures in heaven, not only do they last longer than treasures on earth, they are infinitely more valuable than anything we could have. To treasure treasures on earth is to like to go to the $2 shop and buy a cheap toy that breaks the next day. To treasure treasures on earth is to like be driving home at the end of the day knowing that there is a banquet waiting for you, and you can choose whatever part of it you want, and nibbling on some moldy cheese in the car. See, what we have in Christ is so far superior. And Jesus says, treasure that. Love it. Value it. Set your heart on it. Think about it often. Read about it in the Word. Hold it out to each other to encourage each other, to spur one another on. We are rich when we know Jesus Christ. I think in doing this, Jesus is giving us an antidote for the treasures on earth problem. Treasures on earth are not going to go away. We're all going to have a bank account, and a house, and a car, and a job, and a family, and all those things. How do we not treasure them? Well, we treasure what is greater, what is more valuable, what is of infinitely more worth. We treasure him and what we have in him. That's what we're treasuring, Jesus is saying, well, then our eyes are going to be healthy. That's what we're going to look to. That's what we're going to be thinking about. That's what we're going to be putting our hope on. And he says, then our whole body is going to be full of light. I think he's sort of talking about sort of the joy and the freedom and the generosity that comes from knowing Jesus. We get to actually experience those heavenly treasures here and now as he works in our lives. And not only that, it will lead to serving him and serving him alone. See, if we're looking to Jesus, what we're going to do is we're going to find that as we read through his word, we're going to uncover again and again gold. We're going to find that we learn about Jesus and who he is and all that he has given us. When we read his word together in groups, in small groups, we're going to hold out to one another these treasures that we find in his word to spur each other on, to encourage each other to keep going so that Jesus is first in our life and we serve him alone. And we don't serve him begrudgingly or coldly. We serve him joyfully and in freedom and in peace, because we know how valuable he is. I think there's something really special and intentional about the order in which Jesus places things here. He talks about our hearts. He talks about the new heart that he's given us, the heart that longs for this treasure, what we look to, and then finally who we serve. When I think about my own life, I'm tempted to reverse the order. I start with what I've got to do for Jesus. And if I've got to do these things for him, well, then I better look to him, and then I hope that my heart catches up. But Jesus doesn't do it that way. He starts with our hearts, a new heart, a heart filled with the Holy Spirit, a heart that longs for him, a heart that's filled with him, that's beating for him. And he turns to what we look to, what we desire, and then finally who we serve. So serving Jesus from a heart that finds its treasure in him is the most wonderful thing ever. It's being engaged in his eternal purposes and plans. Know that we do so because he loves us and he's given us everything. It's serving in the church, it's serving, sharing the gospel with people, not begrudgingly or coldly or because of a sense of duty, but out of a sense of delight out of what he's given us. Don't, Jesus says, don't store up treasures on earth. They're pathetic imitations. They do not last, they do not satisfy, they lead to darkness. Treasure what is really valuable. Treasure Christ, treasure the gospel. Look to him, have him shape your heart so that you serve him with joy. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the richness that we have in knowing Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that what we have in you far outweighs, far outshines anything that this world could offer us. Thank you that you capture our hearts and you shape what we look to and you enable us to serve you. Lord, help us to deal with the earthly treasures in our lives properly. Help us to hold them lightly, to hold them loosely. Lord, help us to know that you and what you have done is far better. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.